injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Take the scenic drive to the Guitar Oasis Cool in Jefferson County. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, Madison Teamsters, Local 695, Madison Firefighters, Local 311, and Madison Teachers Incorporated. Joining us now, one of the candidates running for governor, August 14th primary, coming up very quickly now, Malin Mitchell. Malin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sly, thanks for having me back.
Well, I just wanted to take this opportunity to endorse your candidacy and stand with my brothers and sisters and the workers of Wisconsin, and let's take this next step, and I urge people to vote for you.
Well, I appreciate that. It means a lot. We've been doing a lot lately, been getting around the state, and it's coming fast, a lot faster than I thought.
What did you learn from your first run for political office in 2012? Are there things that you learned from that and everything that's happened since?
Yeah, you know, I learned that a struggle is a struggle, whether you're in Rhineland or Anago, up North Superior, or you're in Kenosha, Racine, or Milwaukee, Madison, it doesn't matter. A struggle is a struggle, and this low-wage economy is hurting a lot of folks, and it hasn't changed since we've had Governor Walker in office. And all the things he's doing, all these austerity measures, all this pick yourself up by your bootstraps, all this cut, 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 it's really hurting the people of Wisconsin. And you know, people at the very top are doing okay, and they're always going to do okay, but there's a lot of people out there, Sly, that are working two or three jobs just to make ends meet and just trying to put food on the table. So, you know, the governor talks about a 2.8% unemployment rate. He looks at Wisconsinites as statistics, essentially. But when I go around and talk to people, there's a lot of people that are struggling just to try to make ends meet out there.
We also have kind of a Swiss cheese economy, an apt term for the dairy state, where you have pockets of prosperity and then you have pockets of poverty. And it's funny because the state is viewed as being very polarized, but some of the same economic forces that have hurt maybe a very conservative person living in Rusk County could be doing the same damage to, you know, someone who's progressive living in Milwaukee County.
Right. And what we have is, and not just in Wisconsin, but around the country, is we have billionaires telling millionaires that to tell people like me, to tell those who are not doing so well, that they're making too much money. So it's really tough. And when we see what happened with Act 10, prevailing wage, those are all things that are hurting middle-class working families. And we don't talk a lot about those living below working middle class wages, but there's a movement afoot to turn this around, and I want to be part of that, and that's why I'm running. And I think we have the best campaign that would be suited to beat Scott Walker. That's what this is all about at the end of the day, because we can keep talking, we can go into rooms and talk to each other, go to town halls and say how bad Walker is, but we have to talk about what's right with us. Can't just be about how bad Walker is, and we have to have a plan, and we have a plan in my my campaign. We have a lot of endorsements, and it's a lot of people that don't normally see eye to eye on one candidate statewide. You know, I get a lot of the union endorsements, and a lot of people will say, well, of course Malin has union endorsements because he comes from the House of Labor, but as you know very well, the House of Labor has not always agreed on one candidate in a very, very long time.
That is very true, and it is a divergent group of people. Everything from the operating engineers to AFSCME to SEIU. So it is the United Food and Commercial Workers. It's a very, very diverse group of people.
Right, and people forget that. You know, I think sometimes folks that are not part of labor or have never been part of a union, they tend to think in terms of just, you know, the leadership, but unions represent people. And it's a diverse group. Like you said, SEIU, a lot of low-wage home health care providers. I went on a day, actually, in a life, and I'm trying to do with all the unions that I'm endorsed by, but a day in a life of a home health care provider. I did just 2 hours with Denise in Milwaukee, and she, tedious, it's back-breaking, long work, long days. And she's doing 10, 11-hour days, 6 days a week. And I did maybe 2 hours with her, and she makes about, I think, close to maybe $10, $50, $11 an hour, not even enough to actually pay for her own health insurance at her own job for her provider. So there's a lot that we need to get done, and that's just one case where people that are right. working actually taking care of people, they're not even able to pay for their own health care for their own families.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it isn't just people at the bottom end of the economic scale that are kind of hurting because of the laws being so unjust and the way they're interpreted. The Supreme Court came up with a terrible decision the other day on these binding arbitration contracts. You've got people even working for Epic, working, you know, 80-hour weeks, and now they have no redress on that issue.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is just taking away the right and the ability just for the worker to sit down and have a seat at the table and talk about hours, wages, working conditions, and essentially suppress workers' rights and you know, union and non-union. I mean, the state of Wisconsin needs a raise. We need to get back to a place where we have employer-employee peace. And we can only do that by, you know, getting rid of this governor and bringing people back together. I'm sick and tired of the divisiveness. I'm sick and tired of, you know, folks that you used to be able to actually go into a bar and talk about politics. Now you'll go into a place and people say, well, we don't talk about politics here, because it just ends up in a battle, and that's not where we should be.
Yeah, and obviously discourse took a dive for the worse this week with some of the stuff going on with people getting kicked out of restaurants and flash mobs. And how do you pull the state together? I mean, you know, obviously you've been very active in the union movement, but you're a public servant as well. You probably work with firefighters that disagree with you politically. I'm willing to bet that's the case. Not yeah. everybody agrees with you that you work with. How do you pull people together?
Well, we got to get to a place of creative compromise. You know, I'm a firefighter by trade, as you know. We don't get to you know, decide I want to work with this person, I don't want to work with this person. We're all in it together. We, like you said, we don't always agree, but we know that we can talk. We can sit at the kitchen table in the firehouse and discuss issues. And when the ringer goes off or the tone goes off, we go do our jobs. And that's a small microcosm, but that's reflective of what Wisconsin used to be. We could, you know, have disagreements, but at the end of the day, it's about every Wisconsinite. It's about making Wisconsin a better place. And we may have different ways or opinions of getting there, but at the end of the day, we want the same result. And that is, we want an economic system that helps, that gives everybody the ability and the freedom to thrive. We want health care for every Wisconsinite. I mean, Badger Care, I believe, was started by a Republican, wasn't it? By Tommy Thompson.
Right.
We want our educational system to be the best it can be. And at one time, I think we did have one of the best educational systems, K-12, in the country. We want our roads to not have crazy potholes where we're putting over $600 a year. The average Wisconsinite spends more on their car repairs because our roads suck. I mean, we all want the same things, right? I mean, there are Republican and Democrat issues, no doubt. I'm not a pie in the sky guy. I know there's differences, but at the end of the day, we may have a different way of getting there, but we want the same results. So let's talk about the 85-90% of things we have in common. And we can still fight over the 10% that we don't, but let's get things done. Let's not, I mean, partisan, whether you're Democrat or you're Republican, partisan politics at the end of the day does not help common people. So we need to get rid of that. We need to get back to a place where, you know, I always say we got to, you know, compromise where we can, but we got to stand where we must. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not trying to get away from what we believe in, but let's do things for people. Let's help people. And that's what I've devoted the majority of my life to, helping others. When I take off my turnout gear, my firefighter gear, I go and I'm the union president for the state association, and as well as my local here in Madison. So, you know, I want to work on behalf of working people, and that's why I'm running for governor.
It is a little ironic that Republicans, the party of big business and the party of sort of an autocratic, top-down management style have taken the word union and the word boss and turned it into pejorative. You know, I thought with them, boss was a good thing, but they've decided to take union and boss and use it in a way that's a weapon. What do you think about that? How do you think about being called a union boss?
Well, you know what? If being a union boss is representing men and women who run into burning buildings, men and women that respond to medical emergencies in their communities around the state, if being a union boss is helping teachers to be able to sit down and talk with the school district about common problems, being a union boss is just being a voice for those that are voiceless at times. And you can call me what you want. I mean, they're going to call me something. Fly, right? I don't think whatever they come up with is going to be a good thing. So, I mean, they're going to call me what they want. But being a union boss is taking care of working people. Then, you know, I'm a union boss, and I don't run away from it. I mean, if unions help build the best middle class in the world. When union wages go up, all wages go up, non-union wages as well. So unions are needed. There's a reason why billionaires are spending millions of dollars to get rid of unions. It's because they know that it's helping working people. And we always have to remember that. We all rise together. And the governor has done a great job, unfortunately, at dividing. He said he was going to do that. Maya Angelou said it. My mother used to always say it. When someone tells you who they are, you better believe them. I mean, he said he was going to divide and conquer us. And he's done exactly that to our state.
The Foxconn deal. Now, we're recording this on a Tuesday morning, so they haven't had the official groundbreaking as of yet. Your thoughts on that money, what it could have gone to, and do you think that maybe, you know, a little money here and there scattered throughout the state might have been a better approach?
Yeah, just think how many small businesses we could have helped with that money. I mean, how many dairy farmers we could have helped. Think how many startups could have been started up, so to speak, with that money. I mean, Foxconn's a bad deal. And, you know, to give $4.5 billion essentially to a foreign company that has made promises in the past to other states and cities and hasn't fulfilled those obligations, it's a bad deal. And it's, you know, there's no bank that would give you $4.5 billion just to see return on investment 25 years later. So we need to, you know, I always say if someone's coming to your house, before they come over normally, you clean your house. And
well, speak for yourself there, Malin, okay?
At least you straighten up a little bit. But if we were to have a great educational system, a thriving economy, great health care for all, infrastructure that is top-notch, in a place like a company like Foxconn and other companies will want to come here because we do have the best worker and we have the natural resources that they need. This is a great place for people to live. So you would want to come here. So we wouldn't have to give Foxconn a $4.5 billion essentially teaser to come here. That's an expensive teaser. But you think about we have a $1 billion transportation budget deficit or hold a fill. We have educational costs been cut by $1.6 billion. We have over 300,000 Wisconsinites with no health care. So, yeah, that money could have been used to a lot of good things. And we have companies that are here that are family-sustaining generational jobs, companies like, look at Kraft Foods, north side of Madison, where they were gone in a blink of an eye. Look at Jet Tyson Foods in Jefferson County, Jefferson, and they were gone just like that. So there's a lot of folks that are here that need help and a lot of companies that are here that could use a little incentive to hire as well.
We'll talk more with Malin Mitchell next at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, organize, organize,
and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from Sly'sOffice.com.
We're back at Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, great local sponsors like S&R Remodeling, Madison Computer Works, and the Axley Law Firm as well. Joining us again, Malin Mitchell, candidate for governor, who I'm endorsing today. He is obviously one of eight candidates left in the race. I guess that's probably the best way to count it right now. Can you give me your thoughts on the field and how you differentiate yourself from the other Democrats? And I guess there's one person running who's not really a Democrat, but he's running in the Democratic field. How do you differentiate yourself from the others?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's challenging at times, Sly, because there are so many folks, and when we have these forums and some other venues where we're all together, a lot of times we're saying or agreeing, I guess, on the same topics. There's some differences in strategy, but we agree a lot on the same topics. But I think the biggest key and why I'm running is that we need leadership. And I'm actually, believe it or not wanting to pat myself on the back, but I'm a proven leader, and we need a leader in the executive branch. As firefighters, we respond to people on the worst days of their lives, and when our community's at its worst, we have to be at our best. And that's what we should expect from our executive branch and our governor, and that's just not what we're seeing. But we also need a candidate. You know, we've lost to Governor Walker by, 5-6%, 4-6% every time. And, you know, he's going to be always at 47-48%, and whoever runs against him, if you ran against him, you would be at 45.
Oh, no.
I think anybody who puts their name in right now would be at 45% is what it looks like. And, you know, there's a sweet spot there where we need to get, you know, again, like I said earlier, it's great to go into rooms and talk with a bunch of Wisconsinites that think like you, that all agree pretty much with the same reasoning. But that's not how we're going to win this race. And we have to get those folks who don't necessarily always agree with us to come back and actually vote our way, because we are the party. We're supposed to be the party that's working and advocating on behalf of working people. But we also have to get people that have sat on the sidelines during especially primaries, but off year elections. And I have a plan to bring out 50,000 more blacks to vote. Because when we get blacks in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine, Beloit, Madison, across the state to vote, we win. But we also have a plan to bridge that urban and rural divide and bring people together. I have an office in Madison, and we have actually a field office we opened up in Milwaukee about a month ago, right on the north side, right on MLK and Vine. And every day we have organizers going out, actually organizing parts of the community that need to get out to vote so that we can bring resources and opportunities to those parts of the community. So we are getting the word out. You know, a lot of times elected officials or want to be elected officials dial for dollars and then just try to get up on TV as much as they can. But history has proven that there are certain communities that I don't care how many commercials you run, people aren't getting out to vote. So we actually are going to the voter. We're not just running a cookie-cutter campaign. I'm actually stopping in taverns. We're doing pub crawls. We're actually in libraries. I'm doing doors, which is a lot of people think is crazy for a statewide campaign. But we're stopping at businesses. We have a lot of business support. We have folks that normally I had actually a fundraiser at the packing house, and I got a little flack for it because the packing house owner, Chris, he's a quote-unquote conservative, and he openly admitted, I don't think he might understand this, but he voted for Scott Walker at some point. But he actually, after we sat down and had lunch, he actually decided to throw a fundraiser for me a month later. And a lot of people said, well, what do you have in common with him? I said, well, we're both Wisconsinites. It's the first thing we have in common. And second, we want a better Wisconsin. They just have a different way of getting there. Now, I don't agree with a lot of conservatives, obviously. I don't agree with a lot of Republicans at all, especially Scott Walker on anything. But we need to bring, my point is, we need to bring, in order for us to beat Scott Walker, we have to get our message out there. Our message has to resonate with people.
Can you take anything that you observed from Patty Shatner's victory in Northwest Wisconsin and now Caleb Frostman's victory in Northeast Wisconsin? Can you take any lessons from both those candidates, other than that they were obviously quality candidates?
Yeah, I think what I take is you got to be yourself. I think people respond and react to real people. I think the days of us having, I've never been this way anyway, it could be part of my false, but I think the days of having a candidate that always says the right thing, that always looks appropriately and stands up straight and knows exactly everything they say, has candid responses to everything, those aren't real candidates. People want folks that are from their neighborhood. They want folks that they know are hard workers. They want folks to representing them that act like them and that know Wisconsin. And I think the blue wave helps. You know, I'm not going to deny that, but I'm not one to talk about things in waves just because I think that tends to lead folks to not canvas, not lit drop, and not do the hard work that's going to be required to beat someone like Scott Walker. But I'll tell you, while taking things from that race, Scott Walker is not Adam Jarkow. Scott Walker is not Michael Skronik in the state Supreme Court race. Scott Walker is not Andre Jock. Scott Walker is going to be well-resourced. He's going to be well-funded.
Oh, he's a good he's a good politician.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been doing it for 25 years.
Right.
I mean, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he is a skilled politician. He's going to be well-resourced. So it's going to require... No one's going to have as much money as him. No candidate running against him. So it's going to require something different. We're going to have to get our base excited and also make sure that we bring back that Obama-Trump supporter that is in our state. We have people that voted for, I know a lot of them. A lot of them are my members, quite frankly, that voted for Barack Obama, then 4 years later voted for Donald Trump.
As we get to a time period where people are going to start focusing on this race, because looking at that Marquette poll, people haven't focused on this race in general. The politicos have, obviously, but the general public hasn't engaged in this race. They don't know who anybody is. Even a large number of people don't know Tony Evers, and he's been school superintendent a long time. They don't know. So the numbers in that Marquette poll, I don't think they mean a whole lot at this point. Obviously, a couple people dropped out after that, but how are you going to know when your message is resonating? I mean, as we dissect this is kind of tough because the primary is earlier than it used to be and people are still kind of focused on summer vacation, but how are you going to know if your message is resonating?
You know, I think it's when, I learned this last time I ran, I think it's when you're going out and people start coming up to you and saying, hey, I'm with you. I mean, it's really that simple. You know, we're going to do paid communications and advertisements and commercials and all that, but I think it's when you're talking and you're walking down the street or you just happen to be in a restaurant or what have you, and people start coming up to you and saying, hey, I'm with you, or hey, I saw you here, or I heard you there, and that's when people start paying attention. But you're right. People aren't paying attention, one. And two, I think having so many folks in the primary, but it's democracy, so I'm not complaining, but having so many folks in the primary lends, actually also does not help because people are just kind of waiting to see and saying, okay, let's figure out who the front runner is, let them sort it out, and then we'll start paying attention. And I've heard that from national outlets, media outlets, as well as local.
You don't talk a lot about it, but, you know, there's an historic nature to your candidacy, obviously. It happens rarely. Doug Wilder got elected in Virginia, and Deval Patrick got elected in Massachusetts, and there may be someone else, but there haven't been a lot of African-Americans elected in statewide office, much less governor. Do you feel a certain sense of responsibility in this race? Because of the historic nature of your candidacy?
Yeah, I think about it. You know, we could make history. There's only been two African-American governors, the two that you mentioned, and we could make history. But I always say if we're going to make history, we got to make it count. It's not only good enough to be the first black governor. If I don't do anything with that position, if I don't actually help all people around the state, then... You know, who gives a damn how I'm the first black governor? You have to do something with it. So I look more for, yeah, I do look, I don't, the historical nature of it doesn't escape me, but I also feel the pressure, and even, you know, I was having one, but I feel the pressure and the need to make sure you get something done while you're there, which could be tough depending how the landscape looks.
As we get closer to primary day, what should people consider when they're selecting someone? Because I tell you, I run into people all over the place, and they haven't made up their mind yet, Malin.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, it's like we got to consider winning the general election. And I'm the best candidate to do that because I am uniquely different. Being African-American, I'm going to inspire some to come out and vote that normally haven't in off-year elections. The last time, and not comparing myself to Barack Obama, please believe that. I'll make that clear. But the last time we won statewide or a Democrat, we had an African-American at the top of the ticket, and that's when we won big. You know, it can happen. A lot of people ask. Going back to your other point, is Wisconsin ready for a black governor? And obviously, I say the answer is yes. When Barack Obama ran in our state, or he took our state the first time in 2008, he won by, I think, close to 14 points. 4 years later, against Mitt Romney, he won by close to 6 points. So, and I represent an electorate. If you know a lot of my members, but if you statewide, my members, and when you saw the marches, majority of my members are white male.
Right.
If you came to my convention about a week and a half ago, you would have saw about 250 delegates, and 247, 248 of those are white males, and I love them. And they've elected me by acclamation now 3 times with no one running against me. So we need a crossover candidate. And if you look at the other candidates, they're all good people, but there are no crossover candidates there. And a lot of the candidates are retreads of the same thing we had before, the same boring rhetoric. Not exciting people, not being inspiring, and it's the same type of candidate we've ran before, and we've lost to Scott Walker. Now, I supported all those other candidates, and I thought Mary Burke would have made a great governor. I thought, Tom Barrett, obviously I ran with Tom Barrett, so I supported everybody. I'm just saying we can't do the same thing and think we're going to have different results.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm a lot older than you are, so I remember I couldn't even vote in this election, but in 1978, Vell Phillips got elected statewide as Secretary of State, when at the top of the ticket, the incumbent Democrat, Governor Marty Schreiber, lost, Vell Phillips actually won. So that's going back 40 years. So yeah. I think Wisconsin's ready.
I agree.
And heck, let's do this for Vell Phillips, huh? I can't think of a nicer tribute to Vell Phillips, who just passed away.
Yeah, it would be something. I mean, it'd be historic, and we can do it. But we can only do it together. We gotta work, and we gotta. After the primary, come together and win this thing. But I'm asking for everyone's vote, obviously, on August 14th. I really do appreciate your endorsement. I don't take that lightly. And I won't let you down, and we're going to make sure we get this thing done. As firefighters, we leave no one behind.
If people want to find out when your fundraisers are, what's going on with your campaign, how to donate, where do they go?
Go to MahlonMitchell.com, MahlonMitchell. MitchellL.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Malin Mitchell is the hook. And Twitter, we're at Malin Mitchell.
All right. Malin, thanks for joining us. SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.